The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord, it's time once again for the Word of Faith Netcast. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for another excursion into our study of the Word of God. We're focusing on a particular topic. This is the third episode, if you will, or chapter in our study of the topic of how do you receive faith? And we're getting very specific. How does faith come? Really, in one sense, almost what is faith in the biblical sense? There's a lot of people that think they understand faith from merely the natural sense. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's a lot of people that use the example that if you take your key and you go to your car in the morning, you're on the way to work, and you stick your key in the ignition and turn it, you have faith that the car will start. Well, from an English definition, maybe. But that's not biblical faith. God hasn't promised you that car will start every single time in the Word of God. You can't go to a scripture and say, thy car shalt start when you turn the key. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's outside of the realm of the Word of God. Now, it is your possession, and as your possession, it should function correctly, and you can believe for favor, and you can believe for the anointing of God to surround you, and you can believe for your equipment and like your car and so forth not to wear out, just like the children of Israel's shoes didn't wear out when they were in the desert, you know, crossing the desert. All that time, their shoes did not wear out. That's scripture. You can look it up. And yet, it's their possession. Your possessions are blessed because they're just yours. Amen? So you have some, you know, scripture you can rely on to keep your things working the way they should. And I could go into some examples of that, but for sake of time, we won't. But at any rate, I say all that to say this. We need to know about biblical faith. We need to know how this works from a Bible point of view, not just a human natural understanding point of view. Yeah, when I put my key in the ignition and I turn it, I expect it to start. I have no reason to think it won't start. I can have a natural faith in my car that it will start, but that's not biblical faith. That's my point. That's what I wanted to try to say. Boy, I was getting off on some interesting examples there to make that point, but the point is made, so we'll go on from here. Let me give you a few announcements before we get started. I always like to give some announcements of what's happening in all the various projects that we're involved in, not the least of which is SpeakFaith.tv. I just yesterday did some tweaking, some minor tweaking, on our SpeakFaith.tv site. I changed a few images. Brother Larry Hutton had, his staff had sent a request that his image be changed on the main feed. And so we did that. We did a few little minor things, but we don't have any new speakers that we're adding this week, but I will be letting you know about some in the near future. But I think the site, the application within the Roku system looks a little cleaner, looks a little nicer than it did before. Just a few little tweaks. Also, let's see, Word of Faith Radio. We've got some things happening there, new programs that are coming on. Don't have all the details of that, but we have really been kind of also tweaking a bit there with the schedule. And boy, we've got some good programs airing on Word of Faith Radio. So I encourage you to check that out, wfr.org, as it says there on the screen. Go check that out. It will be a blessing to you. Word of Faith Radio. And then, of course, SpeakFaith.tv is our Roku channel that I mentioned earlier. A Roku is a box. It's a little device. what they call a set-top box. Sits on top of your TV, or these days with HD TVs, you know, it sits more to the side or below it on a table. But you connect that into your TV, and you connect it to your internet connection, and through that you are able to receive excellent programming through speakfaith.tv. All kinds of wonderful speakers there that are a blessing to the body of Christ, and I encourage you to check that out as well. If you have a Roku, go into the channel store, look for speakfaith.tv, and then as I mentioned before, we also have a beta channel. Not everybody knows about our beta channel. The beta channel is where we test out feeds of potential new speakers. So it changes a lot, okay, while we're doing our testing and our research. So you can connect to that by going to your Roku account, put in, click on private channel, and then use the code SFTVBETA, SFTVBETA, as it says there on the screen, and you can connect to a private channel that's not in the channel store, but it has feeds that we are testing, and very often you'll be pretty surprised what you see out there on the beta channel. Praise the Lord. Not too many people are connected to the beta channel because not too many people know about it, but there you go. Those that do will get a little extra treat. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the Word of God. We were talking about last time from Romans chapter 10, where in verse 17 it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we talked about the fact that that's the Greek word akoē, which is more than the mere sense of hearing. It implies hearing, understanding, and receiving the teaching. All right, we talked about that to some extent. But what I want to do, as we always like to do when we're studying the Word of God, is read it all in context. So I want to go back up to Romans chapter 10, verse 1, okay? And we're going to read this in context. So bear with me as we get into this, because once you see it in context, it'll really make a whole lot more sense to you. All right, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire. Now, hear Paul's heart here. Listen to what he's saying. He was raised a Jew. He was raised in the strictest sect of the Pharisees. He went to the best schools. He had the best instructors. Gamaliel was the renowned instructor in the Word of God, and was well known among the Jews. And he was very zealous for his beliefs as a Jew. You remember that? Oh man, he held Stephen's coat while they stoned him. He was out to get the Christians before he was converted on the road to Damascus. So he was definitely a believer in Jewish doctrine and in Jewish teaching, and was very committed to the Jewish nation. Still is, as we read this statement that he's about to make. Let's see what he says. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now that answers a couple of questions that people have asked before, and that is, are all the Jews going to be saved automatically whether they receive Jesus or not? I mean, after all, they are God's chosen people. Isn't God just going to save them automatically? No. Because if that had been the case, Paul would not have said, oh, my prayer, my desire, my prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. Well, if they're going to be saved automatically, if they didn't have to receive Jesus as the Lord, this would not have been a concern. You see what I'm saying? No, they have to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, their one and only Messiah, in order for them to be saved. That's just Bible. You might say, but Dr. Bill, no, that's just Bible, okay? It's one thing to argue, you and me arguing a point, but if the Bible says it, the Bible says it, and that's it. There's nothing to argue. You see what I'm saying? All right, verse 2. Here's what Paul says. For I bear them, that's the children of Israel, or Jews, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. There's no question that they are zealous after God. They love God and they follow after God's precepts from the Old Testament. And he says, yeah, they have a zeal after God, but look what he says. But not according to knowledge. They don't have, and this word knowledge is revelation knowledge. Okay, epignosis, revelation knowledge. This is talking about they don't have a revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Son of God, as the Messiah that they should are expecting, should be believing that Jesus is the Messiah. But many don't. They don't have revelation knowledge of that, though it's all in the Scriptures. All right, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not, and I love this phrase, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now you see, a lot of people will read that and just skip over it very quickly, and they won't catch a very important point here. You don't have to do good works to be saved. You don't have to attain to level 1, 2, 3, or 4, or whatever, to be saved. You don't have to try to be saved. I got an email just recently from somebody that said, you know, they ran across our study here on the internet when they were searching for how do I receive faith, and they ran across this study, and they sent me a question and said, I want to know how to get saved. And of course, it struck me kind of as an interesting question because, man, I was raised Southern Baptist. We knew from day one how to get saved. You know what I'm saying? You can read Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 and see exactly how to get saved. But what he was saying is, I don't know if I've got the right kind of faith. It was all mechanics. He was so concerned about the mechanics of it. And see, all this says is, submit unto the righteousness of God. Now, in order to understand this, you've got to take this word righteousness and take it out of its religious context and see what it really is saying. The word righteousness, see, we hear that and we think, oh, yeah, some religious term. No, righteousness is right standing with God, or being in a position with God that is right, where there is no concern about your relationship between you and God. Okay? A position of being, well, let's put it this way. Everything's okay between you and God. He is not going to send you to hell because you are in a right position with Him. First of all, let's clarify something. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You say, oh, Dr. Bill. No, wait a minute. I didn't say people weren't going. I said God doesn't send anybody. The Word of God tells us very specifically that hell was prepared as a place for the devil and the angels that followed after him. It is not intended for mankind. However, here's the however. If you are not born again, you are spiritually connected. Think of it as almost like an umbilical cord. You're spiritually connected to your father, the devil. Remember what Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees? He said, ye are of your father, the devil. They weren't born again. They weren't submitted to the righteousness of God. All right? Even though they were religious, even though they were trying to do the right thing, they thought. They were spiritually connected to their father, the devil. And when Satan gets thrown into hell, that umbilical cord will drag them along. So it is actually more correct to say it's the connection with the devil that puts them in hell. God did not ever intend that mankind go to a place called hell, though it exists, and though there will be people there who are connected to their father, the devil. No, God's intent is that you get born again, that you come into a right standing relationship with Him. How do you do that? Well, you submit unto the right standing of God that has been made available through the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all the work with regard to salvation. He went to the cross. He bore your sins. He bore your sicknesses and diseases. He bore your poverty. He bore it all for you. And all you have to do is receive it. Just submit to it. Now, submission unto something that has already been done is not hard. You just say, all right, Lord, I'll take it. That's all that's involved. It's so simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't get involved in the mechanics so much of, do I have enough faith? And have I met this criteria? And am I a member of the right church? No. Just submit unto the righteousness of God that has been provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's keep reading. I bear them record, verse 2, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge of what? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. God has set up a system called righteousness, or right standing with Him, that is through Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. And they are going about to establish their own righteousness, which you can't do. You'll never be able to attain through your own ability to a right standing with God. It just won't work. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to who? To everyone that believeth. All you got to do is be one that believeth. All you got to do is submit to the righteousness of God. If you'll do that, then it's all accomplished. And all you got to do is what it says in Romans 10 here, 8, 9, and 10, which we'll get to in just a moment. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But, here it is, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, or near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith is what we preach. Now you say, yeah, Dr. Bill, this is Word of Faith Ministries. Yeah, okay, and the Word of Faith Radio. Yeah, I know it's Word of Faith. No, listen, word of faith. Faith is what we preach, not works. Faith is what we preach unto salvation, not you trying to do a whole list of things. Not you trying to be a member of a certain church. You know, recently, the new Pope, Pope Francis, said, you cannot have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ outside the Catholic Church. You must take communion, and you must do the catechism, and you must do all these things, whatever. You must be a good Catholic, or you can't be saved. That's not scriptural. That is demonic, that is evil, and that is false doctrine. I'm sorry, it's just what it is. No, the Bible says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we preach. That, verse 9, here it is, that if thou, that's you personally, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. He is in control of your life. He is your master. He is the Lord of your life. You confess Him as Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Well, now, Dr. Bell, I don't have to believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. That, you know, that's just some kind of mythological. No, you have to believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. You must believe that He has been raised from the dead. If you do not believe that He has been raised from the dead, you do not meet the qualification of the Scripture, and the final phrase of it does not apply to you. You said, Dr. Bill, you're being pretty strong on that. I'm being as strong as the Word of God is. The Word of God is very explicit, very plain, very direct. You must confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. And that doesn't just mean mouthing it off. It means believing it and understanding what it means and fully accepting the consequences of what that means. That means Jesus Christ is your Lord. If He tells you to do something, you do it now. You don't question it. You just do it. You don't play this namby-pamby game of, well, you know, it's not quite the way I believe. Well, fooey on that. Jesus is your Lord. Confess Him as that. Confess Him as your Lord. Believe that God has raised Him from the dead supernaturally. He was truly dead, and He was buried, and He was raised up again. And now He is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Hallelujah. He's been raised from the dead, literally, not figuratively, literally. You believe that in your heart, then what? Thou shalt, no ifs, ands, or buts, no maybes, no well if. No, thou shalt, this is the strongest phrase you can possibly use. Thou shalt be saved. Now, you've heard me give the definition of saved. It's not just going to heaven. Now, it includes going to heaven. Don't get me wrong. Praise the Lord. But this word saved, oh, hallelujah. This is the Greek word sozo. It means saved. Yes, going to heaven. Saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, delivered from all temporal evil. Woo, hallelujah. It covers every area of your life. It is, you know, you've heard me kind of jokingly say it's not just your ticket punch so you get to go to heaven, but it is that as well, but it's so much more. It's also your healing. It's also your financial prosperity. Yes, even that. It's all inclusive. It's your social interaction being healed. It's your family coming back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. Every area of your life is touched by salvation. Hallelujah. Woo, done preach myself happy. Amen. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. This is what we started with. This is the concept that we began the program with. Righteousness. Right standing with God. With your heart, you believe unto right standing with God. With the mouth, confession is made unto soteria. That's the Greek word soteria or salvation. It is a form of the word sozo. And it also means saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. So it is that all-inclusive word as well. And I'm telling you, folks, this is the core of the word of faith. We believe the word from God of faith through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has provided this right standing, this right position with God through His Son, Jesus. And all you got to do is submit to His plan. Submit to the righteousness of God. Say, okay, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. There's no church I can join. There's nothing special that I have to do. I just submit, Father, to that plan of righteousness through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe, oh Lord, I believe that You raised Him from the dead. I receive Him as my personal Lord and Savior. And You are saved. You don't have to get anybody's approval. You don't have to join a special church. You don't have to count any beads. You don't have to do anything. You personally are saved, and you personally have a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. And you are in right standing with God. Now, to that individual that wrote me, listen to this program. Go over it and listen to it again if you have to. But remember, all you have to do is submit to the plan of righteousness that has been laid out here. Confess Him as Lord with your mouth. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And then don't let the devil tell you anything any different. He's a liar, and he's the father of liars. God has provided this way, this means of right standing with him through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing special you have to do. You don't have to be born of a special family or special group. You don't have to go to a special church. Now, you should go to a good Bible-believing church. You should go to a church that's teaching the uncompromising word of faith, absolutely. But you don't have to join one just to be saved. You can be saved on a street corner. You can be saved in a car. You can be saved on a boat on the middle of the lake. If you just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I thank you that you are now my Father. Satan is no longer my Father. You are my Father. And Father, I thank you that I am saved and delivered and healed and protected and made whole in every area of my life. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And you're saved. Amen. We're going to get into more of this on the next program, but I want you to do just what I was talking about. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, and then write me and let me know. Send me an email and say, Dr. Bill, I did that. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord. I believe that God raised him from the dead. And now, according to the Word of God, not according to what I said, but according to the Word of God, I'm saved. Latch on to that. Hold on to that. Woo, I'd love to hear from you. You can write me here at my regular mailing address of Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262, or it's very much easier and faster if you want to write me at my email address, and my email address is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM, stands for Word of Faith Ministries, WOFM.org, because we're a nonprofit organization. I tell you, it is such a blessing to be able to sit here in my studio and talk to you about the Word of God and share with you the Word of Faith. Hallelujah. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.